Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got it on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Well, get no punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmelk. We're taking your calls at 201-939-4513, and we're also having a conversation on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat if you want to join the conversation online. Happy Tuesday, everybody. The Giants offseason continues as the NFL playoffs are underway, and as we move along this offseason, we're going to try to take a different issue each day. Yesterday, we discussed the Giants quarterback Eli Manning. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the defense because there are a lot of issues over the course of this offseason that the Giants front office, coaching staff, and ownership are going to have to take a look at as they try to get this ship righted and get back on the winning track after having consecutive 7-9 and 6-10 seasons. And first, and I think the biggest issue this season was probably the defense. You saw what Ben McAdoo and Eli Manning, the offense, especially the second half of the year. Now, there were struggles early, and we'll talk about that. The offense got going a little bit. It played well. They scored some points. They'd like more, but good enough. There were issues from time to time over the course of the year on the defensive side of the ball, and that's where I want to start today and guide the conversation. Now, before we get started, I know a lot of people and a lot of fans that we got calls from the second half of the year wanted a replacement and a move at defensive coordinator. Now, Tom Rock of Newsday, and again, I'm not confirming this report. I'm not denying this report. I'm not making any comment on the report. I'm just reading the report that he said it is very likely in his report, according to a source, that both Tom Quinn and Perryfield will be back next year. As far as we're concerned, the last word on the subject came last week from Jerry Reese, John Mara, and Tom Coughlin, that analysis is happening right now, and they will make a decision. We have not heard anything since then, so that's how I'm looking at it as someone that's hosting a show for the New York Football Giants. But when you break down the defense, let's start with the man in charge. I don't mean Tom Coughlin. I mean his boss. I'm talking about Giants primary owner, John Mara. He spoke to the media last week. He was asked about the defense, and let's take a look at the cut right here, and here's what John Mara had to say last week when he spoke to the New York media.
Our defense did not play well this year. I mean, there's no secret about that. When you finish 28th or 29th, whatever we finished, they had opportunities in a lot of games this year to make a key stop at the end of the game, and they didn't do it. So there's no question that that has to be a focus going into next season.
And that's what John Mara said. And Tom Coughlin spoke later in that press conference. He spoke about the positives the defense had this season. And there really are two sides of the coin here, and Tom Coughlin did a good job of describing some of the good things the Giants' defense did this year.
Don't forget, there are four major areas that our defense is in the top 10. Can you imagine being fourth in the league on third down? We are. You know, turnovers, red area, red zone. All year long, we were in the top four or five in the red zone. Sacks. You know, how'd we all get all the way back in sacks? We went forever without any sacks. We're fourth. You have critical areas of defensive football. Quite frankly, the numbers in those areas are outstanding. Now, the other numbers are not. I agree. I don't have a problem with that. But I think you got to balance things off when you start talking about don't throw it all into one bucket because it doesn't belong there.
And Tom Coughlin would go on to say that he has a lot of faith in Perryfield. He's a good coach. He's been doing this for a long time. And he has faith that he can lead the defense going forward. Now, I have a lot of numbers for you. I'm not going to list them all because I think that gets a little boring, a little repetitive. But when you break down this defense, there is good, as Tom Coughlin stated. There is bad, as Tom Coughlin stated, and Giants owner John Mara stated in their press conferences last week. And first, since we started with the Giants owner John Mara, we'll start with some of the numbers that aren't so good. 29th in yards per game, 28th in yards per play. 30th in rush yards per game, last in the league in rush yards per play, 28th in passing yards per play. Now, that's a lot of yards. And when Perryfield came here, he was known as having a bend-but-don't-break defense that forced turnovers. Now, the bend-but-don't-break was really in effect this year. You talk about all the yards. Well, here's some good numbers. 9th in the red zone. So the Giants did not allow a lot of teams to get into the end zone once they got inside the 20. That's a credit to Perry Fuel. His team got off the field on third downs. They were fourth in third down percentage. They got to the quarterback. They were fourth in the league with 47 sacks. Those are all good numbers. Those are great things. But the yards are not very good. They were sixth in interception rate in the league, 10th with 26 takeaways. They did turn other teams over. Those are the good things. Now, in addition to all those yards they gave up, here are some of the bad numbers. 22nd in points per game. And isn't that the bottom line here, folks? You want to limit the opponent's points. And here are the two numbers that really killed the team when all was said and done. They were tied for third worst in the league with 62 pass plays of 20 yards or more. Tied for 7th worst in the league with 13 pass plays of 40-plus yards or more allowed. Now, that's a problem. And one of the reasons those third down numbers, while excellent, maybe aren't quite as significant, it's because there were so many bigger plays, so teams were converting first downs on first and second down and not necessarily getting to those third down opportunities. And big plays has been an issue for a couple different seasons in Perry Fuel's tenure here and in the last 5 or 6 years for the Giants. Last year, meaning 2013, that went away. And they really didn't allow a lot of big plays. And it looked like the problem had been fixed. Now, the problem cropped up again this past season, and that's something the Giants obviously will have to fix heading in to next year. And in terms of how the Giants won and lost games this year, I think it's important to note that a lot of the Giants' losses had very little to do with the defense. And I'm going to go through a few of those games right now, okay? The Giants' second loss of the season to the Arizona Cardinals, the Giants lost 25-14. In that game, the Giants turned the ball over 4 times. They allowed a punt return for a touchdown, all right? So you take away those 7 points, the Cardinals are down to 18 points. And that, right away, you give up 18 points, that's a game you should win. It gets worse, okay? The Cardinals, they scored their first touchdown on a 60-yard drive off the opening kickoff. Legitimate touchdown, the defense gave it up. By the way, the defense just gave up 266 yards in that game, a good number. The second Arizona Cardinals score came on a field goal in the first quarter. That came off an Eli Manning interception and only a 35-yard drive. So hard to put that one on the defense. In the second half, one Cardinals field goal came off a Giants fumble and a seven-yard drive. Another Cardinals field goal came off a Giants turnover on downs and a 5-yard drive. So those are 3 scores that were set up by Giant turnovers. And then on top of that, you had the 10-game kickoff. So that's 16 points of those 25 not accounted for by the defense. So certainly wasn't the Giants' defense fault they lost that game. The Giants lost 27-0 to Philadelphia. Now, 27, is that a ton of points? It's enough. But the Giants' offense gave them nothing in that game, and the defense certainly didn't get any help. Later on in the season, the Giants lose 16-10 to the San Francisco 49ers. 16 points is a good number. The Giants' offense couldn't get it done in that game. Not the Giants' fault they lost to the 49ers. The Giants' fault to the Jaguars, 25-24. Two of those touchdowns and another couple other points after that came off of turnovers from the Giants' offense and defensive touchdowns by the Jaguars. So you take those 3 games out of the equation. The rest, do you put those games on the defense? Some of them you certainly do. End of the game, they couldn't get the stop against Dallas, as Mr. Mara mentioned in his press conference. The Seahawks ran all over them in that bad game when they had over 300 rushing yards. Obviously a bad performance, and the Colts put a 40-burger on them. Obviously, those are 3 games where you look at the defense and say, well, you know what? The defense struggled. You had some issues in those games. I get that. But to say all the issues and all the losses were on the defense is a fallacy, because I just mentioned 3 of those games where the defense actually played pretty well, but the Giants lost despite those good performances. Now, is that to say there are no issues with the defense? No, there certainly are. All those yards, all those big plays, and really the number one thing to me is stopping the run. every good defense in this league begins with stopping the run. That's step one, and if you don't stop the run, you're going to have trouble stopping the pass, trouble rushing the passer, and you're going to have a lot of issues in all of these games. And Tom Coughlin mentioned that in his postseason press conference, that the one thing the Giants have to do is do a better job stopping the run. In fact, Johnny Mack, why don't you bring up here cut number 116 from Tom Coughlin, and we'll take a listen to Tom Coughlin as he talked about being better in the trenches, not only running the football, but also stopping the run.
We've got to be able to run the ball and defend the run. How about defending the run? That's one area. I'd like to run the ball better, and I'd like to defend the run better. That'd be a pretty good start. And, you know, if you stop the run and you do attack the quarterback, and you do have a team that really didn't do much for a while, and then all of a sudden finishes fourth in sacks, you might have a chance to defend the pass a little better.
Yeah, you would. But it all starts with stopping the run, and 32nd in the league in yards allowed per play on the ground is obviously something that has to get better. And there's good and bad news here. The bad news is that you're probably going to have a lot of changes to get that type of improvement. But the good news is that you do have a lot of free agents on defense, so there will be opportunities here to bring them some new players to get some improvement on that side of the ball. You're also going to get some guys back healthy, which we'll talk about too, which could help this defense. Now, there are a couple spots here where you're going to have to make some decisions. You have two free agents on the defensive line in Mike Patterson and Jason Pierre-Paul, and then two veterans in Colin Jenkins and Matthias Kiwanuka. At linebacker, you hope John Beeson gets back from injury and can be a stout run defender next year. With his injury history, who knows, but we'll see. Devon Kennard came on, end of the year. Physical player at the line of scrimmage. He should be good against the run. Now, I think where the big question comes in is at the safety position. I think one area where you probably got hurt from last year to this year in terms of run defense was losing Will Hill. And now, you know my opinion, I thought the Giants did the right thing in letting him go. You can only let a guy break your rule so many times. But he was an excellent run defender. He could almost tackle as well as a linebacker. That hurts you. And then on Charles Roll, to his own admittance, after the year, he didn't have his best season. So if you can rectify those areas, I think you can get the run defense better. You get the run defense better, you get teams into third and long. You can blitz a little bit. If you get your cornerbacks on the outside, Prince and Mukamara healthy, you bring back Walter Thurmond, you have Dominique Rogers-Cromartie, you have some legitimate top-notch cover corners there, you can get to the quarterback. And I think that's really the formula. So what you try to get better here is in that front seven at safety, where you get better at stopping the run, and that should help put things together for your pass rush, which came on at the end of the year, and I know the opponents it happened against, and Giants owner John Mara talked about that in his postseason press conference as well. We know they came against some lesser opponents, but sacks are still sacks, and you can do better against the pass. So when you focus in the offseason here, folks, where you got to focus is stopping the run on defense. If you do that, everything else, is it going to be fixed? No, but it's certainly going to get better. And then you move from there as you try to improve your talent and you get a better system in place to get all the players on the same page as well. And that, you hope, will cut down on some of the big plays and miscommunications that hurt this team from time to time. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Those are the two ways to talk for the next 45 minutes on your New York Football Giants. Let's lead off on the phones. Wow, full bank of calls already. Let's go to Carl, New Mexico first. What's going on, Big Carl?
What's going on, John? How are you?
I'm doing great, Carl. How about yourself?
Charles.
Oh, I'm sorry, Charles. What's going on, pal?
Hey, man. First of all, great job, man. Great job covering the Knicks and the Giants.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, what about this? I know we talk about the DBs, and they let Will Hill go, but let me tell you something. He's sure having some good games with the Ravens right now.
Yep.
I mean, a great pickup for them.
Charles, nobody doubted that Will Hill was an excellent football player, but at some point you take a look at it and you say, you tell this guy not to break rules and he keeps breaking them, at some point you have to tip your cap. But I know Charlie and Maine's going to yell at me. He's the next guy up. But I understand why the Giants made the move they had to make.
No, I understand that. And then in the offseason, the one thing we've been missing, and us Giant fans loved, Kennard played well,
yeah.
And I know Beeson was that. McClain did a great job. He's got some intensity, but we need another linebacker. And I don't know if Beeson's going to come back, if they're going to release him, or if he's going to take a little less money to come back and show a little loyalty because the Giants did put up with him last year with the toe injury. I mean, but who out there, or who can we draft? We need a linebacker. Like Beckham is on offense, we need another Carl Branks, Lawrence Taylor, Harry Carson, you know, Brad Van Pelt. Come on, man.
Well, you know what, and Charles, I think what you need, too, is a two-way linebacker. You need somebody that can not only stop the run, but stay in there in those nickel situations and also carry a tight end down the field a little bit and help in pass coverage. So I think you look in the draft for that. We don't even know what underclassmen are coming out yet. So it's hard for me to really go through names in the draft, but you go through some veteran linebackers that are going to be available. And the only good thing right now, linebackers generally – don't get the type of super premium contracts that you give to a pass rusher, that you'd give to a wide receiver, that you'd give to a top cover corner. Generally speaking, you can get them for a more reasonable rate. So if the Giants want to really make a move in that spot, they should either have the financial capabilities or the position in the draft to do just that.
Yeah, what about us going out and really showing up the run defense and getting Sue from Detroit?
I'll tell you what, look, Ndamukong Suh is a heck of a player. You saw him play against Dallas. He basically ate Zach Martin's lunch and went home with his girlfriend. He owned him for the second half of that game. He absolutely dominated him. So, look, Sue's a great player. I'm sure the Giants look at all their options. Right now he's under contract with the Lions, and I'm sure the Giants will look at all their options when free agency comes and make the decision that they think is best for the team.
All right. Well, thank you, John. I appreciate talking to you.
All right, Charles. Thanks for calling in, pal. And look, one of the ways you get better in run defense is getting better up the middle on defense. And I think the Giants have an excellent tackle in Jonathan Hankins. He's going to be a good tackle here for the law for a long time. I think he's played better than Linval Joseph did in his second year, in my opinion, because he can not only stop the run but also get to the quarterback. I was very impressed with his ability to play. Jason Pierre-Paul was solid against the run again this year. If the Giants do decide to bring him back, whether on a long-term contract or using the franchise tag, all their options will be open in that regard. But I do think at linebacker in the middle of that defensive line, that's where the improvement is going to have to be made. And also at the other defensive end spot across from JPP. And I think if you get better in those spots, you can get better against the run, and that's going to help your defense. 201-939-4513. Stick on the busy phones and go to Charlie in Portland, Maine. Charlie, someone came up to me yesterday around 3 or 4 o'clock and said, John, when's the last time Charlie in Portland, Maine called? And I said, guys, I talked to him about 2 weeks before the season ended. And I also said he talked some trash to me on Twitter that his preseason prediction of 6-10 was correct.
That's right, John. Hey, John, right behind the Lance doll there.
What,
isn't
this
that
guy?
Lance, that doll? Isn't there a yellow sticky there? Could you read that to me, please?
Oh, boy.
The date?
Let me find it. Hold on. All right, here we go. March 14th. Here we go. I got it right here. Let me take it off the wall. See, this is why I have the wall. I can put stuff up. And when you guys, by the way, send in your predictions for next year, I will put them up on the wall with Charlie. Here we go. March 14th, 2014, at 11:08 a.m., Charlie in Portland, Maine, gives up on the season and predicts a 6-10 record. That was on the record, March 14th, 2014. There you go.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
All right. I couldn't remember the date, but I knew it was in March sometime.
Not a problem, Charlie. Happy to pat you on the back all the way from New York City.
Enough of that. Let's go on to the new year.
Yes.
You know, hopefully it will be better. The thing is, you know, We're right back where we started, you know. We need an offensive line that can run the ball and protect Eli, and we need a defensive line that can stop the run. So this is where I have a problem with Jerry Reese. We had a defensive line, people that could stop the run in 2013. We had Joseph, we had Tuck, we had Will Hill, we had Beeson. Three out of those four were let go. So there goes our run defense. Beeson, of course, has been injured, and who knows what's going to happen with him. But we did stop the run. We had the players, but Jerry Reese let him go. And if you're going to get rid of Will Hill, for God's sakes, then you got to get somebody at least equal to his talent to take his place, which we didn't do. We relied on Cooper Taylor, who has been injured ever since he's been here. So we're back again trying to stop the run and trying to run the ball and protect Eli.
Well, Charlie, I'll say this very quickly. I don't think there's any doubt there was when Will Hill was let go, and I'm not going to re-engage you on that because you know where I stand.
No,
I know where you stand, and that's fine.
Yeah.
There was a downgrade at that position because the guys that replaced him weren't as talented as Will Hill. And I think everyone knows that, and that's fine. And that was a downgrade. I do think Hankins played the run. And if you look at Pro Football Focus's numbers, whether you buy him or not, Hankins against the run this year was very similar to Joseph against the run last year. Now, the one guy you brought up that I'll tip my cap on and you wanted to keep him around last year was Justin Tuck. I do think losing his run defense on that side of the line probably did impact this team's run defense. And obviously not having John Beeson there with the injury, I think was a big negative too. Those two things are fair. I can't argue them.
All right. Hey, well, I hope, you know, the linebacker that we could use is Ronaldo McClain. He's a free agent Dallas guy.
He is.
He's a, you know, he's a good middle linebacker. He's fast. He can go side to side. He's played really well this year. I mean, Jerry Jones is probably going to re-sign him for a bunch of money, but if he doesn't, I think we should at least try to go after this guy. He is a free agent. So hopefully, you know, they might make a run at him, or at least call him, try,
you know, it's funny.
See
it's
what
funny.
They can do.
Yeah, Charlie, it's funny you bring that up, and I was looking at some Pro Football Focus stats. I'm going to try to sift through these over the next couple of weeks and try to find some good nuggets for people. But in terms of the inside linebackers, I looked up Pro Football Focus's run-stop percentage list. So this basically talks about the percentages of stops played only in run defense. And believe it or not, of all the inside linebackers in the league, Rolando McClain had the highest percentage of run stops at 15%. Number two, a full 3% behind him, was Luke Kuechly from Carolina. We know what type of player he is. So against the run, you're right, Rolando McClain did have an excellent year.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, we'll go after the guy. But, you know, it's going to be hard. Jerry Jones is probably going to throw a ton of money
at him, I would imagine. Charlie, you know, it's funny, though. They have Sean Lee coming back from injury. They invested
a lot
of money in him. They have to decide if they want to pay two linebackers big-time money. How much money is McClain going to get on the open market? You know, those are all interesting questions. I think it's going to be a pretty interesting case to see how much people buy in to McClain's one-year comeback and how much they're still frightened off by some of the stuff that happened in his past.
Right. Hey, you know else who is a free agent is Will Hill. It'd be great to bring him back, but not with Jerry Reese there, I'm afraid. But, hey, we got to do it. Eli's time is running out here. I mean, he's got some more years, but we can't, you know, we need to get this going. We need to get to the postseason. I don't know how we're going to do it. Jerry Reese says he's not going to spend any money in free agency, and if we're just going to rely on the draft, it's never going to fill all our holes. But right now, there's an old Chinese saying, if you don't have any expectations, you'll never be disappointed. So that's where I am right now. No expectations. I'm going to see what happens. So,
all right, bud.
Thanks, John.
Hey, good to hear from you, Charlie. I hope to hear from you again soon in the offseason.
Oh, you will. You
Excellent.
Will.
Thank you,
Take
buddy.
Care.
You know, I get where Charlie's coming from, and I want to make this clear, too. Jerry Reese didn't say he's not going to spend money in free agency. He said he's not going to spend to the same level he did last year, which, when you take a look at it, Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie made a boatload of money. And, no, they're probably not going to sign an unrestricted free agent from another team for that type of contract. That's probably not going to happen this year. Now, could you bring back your own guy in JPP? Yeah, I think that's a possibility for sure. But I sensed when Jerry spoke about that, he talked about bringing people in from the outside. And he wasn't, when he talked about spending money in free agency, he wasn't necessarily referring to his own players like Jason Pierre-Paul and maybe Antoine Roll if he can get him back at the right number. So I just think he spoke about not spending and turning over the roster to the same extent that he did last year, which quite frankly is smart. You want to try to build around the core here, and if you change too many players each offseason, you could run into some issues trying to get some chemistry and having the team come together and play well as a unit. 201-939-4513. I'm on Twitter right now. If you see me online, you're watching the video. I'm going to hashtag Giants Chat so I can monitor your comments there. We can chat online too. Let's go back to the phones, however, and go to EJ in Oakland. EJ, is this Oakland, New Jersey, or are you all the way out in California, my friend?
Good morning from California,
John. Very good, EJ. What's going on, pal?
Hey, nothing. I just, you know, thanks for taking my call. I know, man, I'm trailing Charlie, man. I don't know. I know we're not supposed to be all personal, but that guy just, he sours my cornflakes, man.
You know, EJ, it's funny. You are not the only one. And here's the thing. I think Charlie relishes the role of souring everybody's cornflakes. He's
totally.
The kid at camp who's, like, going up the table and has, like, the big pepper shaker and is just shaking pepper into everybody's cereal in the morning. I think he enjoys it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I know everybody's, you know, or at least a lot of people are down on the defense. And I thought you brought up some good points at the beginning of the show. Honestly, I have no idea. You know, how they were as productive as they were with all the injuries they sustained. I know that's no excuse, but you can't dismiss it. But I wanted to touch base on something that you actually brought up on yesterday's show.
Yeah.
Really regarding Eli and the steps that we need to kind of take moving forward after this season. You know, the emotions that I'm feeling at this moment are vastly different from those that I was feeling this time last year. Like, I'm 1,000 times much more optimistic about 2015. You know, I sincerely believe that the system is in place, you know, and that we have most of the personnel to make this franchise turn around, you know. The one thing I'm really proud of my quarterback. You know, I think Eli Manning, in my opinion, gave one of his greatest performances this year. You know, not to take anything away from 2007 or 2011, you know, however, it should be said that it's vastly much, much more difficult to lead a team, you know, during the down years. You know, not only is it physically demanding, I mean, he's getting beat up almost every game, but the psychological toll that a 7-game losing streak does to one's psyche is devastating. And, you know, I think that Eli had quietly one of his best years, you know, and it's the ultimate sign of his character.
Yeah, EJ,
and
you're right.
Why.
And if you look at it in 2011, he had Akiem Nicks and Victor Cruz in that year.
Right.
This year he only has
right.
Victor Cruz for 6 games. He has Odell Beckham, who didn't practice until the 5th week of the NFL season, and he made the most out of, I think, less this year than what he had in 2011.
Exactly. I just want it known, you know, or I just want it to be heard that, you know, I'm one fan who recognizes that this is the greatest quarterback the Giants have ever had, hands down, and I'm grateful and proud to be a fan of Big Blue. My question is slightly unrelated, though. I wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit, maybe a little premature, but I wanted to know, in your own opinion, you know, how you see the next few years playing out regarding Tom Coughlin specifically. I mean, in all seriousness, I want to know what you think, how you see playing out as far as his, you know, his inevitable exit from his position, you know, knowing what you know, how do you see it realistically playing out? I mean, do you think that they're trying to groom McAdoo? Do you think that they will look elsewhere after this season or next season? And if so, do you have any favorites? Or could he be staying for, you know, another 3 or 4 more years? You know, I'll take your answer off the air. I just wanted to thank you.
All right, I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot, EJ. All right, you know what? Here's the thing. Tom Coughlin talked about this at his press conference, and I think it's very hard to predict how much longer he's going to coach because you don't know what's going to happen with his health. Right now, Tom is as healthy as a 50-year-old. I mean, he's a young 69. I mean, he's a young guy. He's got more energy than I do. He runs every day, and right now, his health is great. His wife, Judy, her health is great. So it's right now, I mean, I think Tom could coach for a couple more years and be fine. But if something comes up, that could cut that decision a lot shorter. Who knows? So I think it's hard to predict. Assuming everyone stays healthy and the team begins to win again, I could see Tom coaching his team for another 2 or 3 years. I really could. You know, they come back next year and go 10-6, and that's the good thing about the NFL now, folks. You can turn things around quickly. They bring in a couple really good free agents. Guys get healthy. They have a good draft. This team could be a playoff team next year. There's no reason to think they couldn't be a playoff team next year. I could see Tom coaching his team for a couple years. As for Ben McAdoo being the heir apparent, Johnny Mac, let's get to cut number 102. John Mara was asked by the media whether or not Ben McAdoo is the heir apparent to head coach Tom Coughlin. Let's listen.
Absolutely not. I laugh when some of you write some of that stuff. A year ago, I didn't know Ben McAdoo from Bob McAdoo, okay? And some of you have written that we brought him in here and have anointed him as the next head coach. The first time I met him was after Tom had hired him, and I went down and introduced myself and welcomed him here. And, you know, Tom interviewed a number of candidates last year for the offensive coordinator position, but the final decision was always going to be his. And I think he made a good choice.
He did make a good choice. And ownership does like Ben McAdoo. They like his demeanor. They like the way he works, his work ethic, his demeanor, like I said. And he's been a great offensive coordinator. But he's been an offensive coordinator for one season. Let's not put the cart before the horse here, folks, and anoint him Tom Coughlin's successor. In fact, I think it's too early to talk about anybody being Tom Coughlin's successor right now because we don't know how much longer he's going to coach. Will it come from in-house? Who knows? Will they look elsewhere? Who knows? Who's going to be available when that time comes? Maybe there'll be a no-brainer, you know? Weird things happen in the NFL. Who would have thought 2 years ago, coming off a Super Bowl season, Jim Harbaugh would be going to Michigan? I mean, you can't figure this stuff. So I think to look too far in the future is almost counterproductive in a lot of ways. And I think, you know, John Maron, Jerry Reese, and even Tom Coughlin talked about this, where you can't look into the future too much. You have to kind of play it by ear, see what happens, deal with circumstance, and then figure things out. Now, are they, I'm sure, you know, in the back of their mind, pushing around ideas? Well, if this happens, here's plan A, here's plan B, here's plan C. Sure, I'm sure they're doing that. Any responsible leader and manager would do that. But I think until you know when, where, why, and how, and who is going to be available, to make any sort of those predictions is going to be tough. But if, again, if Tom stays healthy, Judy stays healthy, and there's no reason to think they won't, and the team starts to win again, I don't see why you would go away from Tom. To me, he's still a very, 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 very good coach and a top coach in the league that obviously you can win Super Bowls with. 201-939-4513. Marco is in Connecticut next. Marco, what's going on, bud?
Hey, John, how's it going?
Hey, good to hear from you, bud. How are you?
Same here. I'm doing well, John.
Excellent.
Just a couple points, and we could talk defense at the end. I just love what you just said about Coach. I'm a huge Coach fan. I hope he stays. I hope this next year is great for him and Jerry Reese. And someone in the press conference said about this year's draft and last year's, or, you know, the last two drafts have been pretty good. I'm hoping Reese comes out and they crush it again, you know, because I want these guys to be around. You know, and the next point I wanted to make is I like Charlie also as a caller, and I take him with a grain of salt. But this Will Hill thing, man. Listen, if any Giants fans watching the playoffs this weekend and they're not frustrated by seeing Will Hill, I mean, how can't you be? I'm jealous watching him out there. But I also know that when he was here, he made bad choices, and he earned that cut. And that's the truth. And you know what? If Will Hill stayed here and he didn't make the choices he made, we wouldn't be talking about, and I love Antoine Roll, but the conversation wouldn't be, how are we now going to pay Antoine Roll and keep him around? It would be, Will Hill is up for a big contract as a Giant, and he played himself out of here. So
yeah, he did.
Good luck to him. I hope he does great. I hope he's improved in his life. But unfortunately, it just didn't work out here anymore. And, you know, I feel that way about Akeem Nicks, too. You know, we could have said the same thing about him. It didn't work out. He's on his own now. He's got to go get that contract somewhere else.
And you know what, Marco, you know, the thing about Nicks is that based on his production in Indianapolis, it's pretty obviously the Giants made the right move with him because he's done very little there. I want to go back to your first point, too,
yeah,
about the last two drafts. Johnny Mack cut 103. Here's John Mara talking about the last couple of drafts and general manager Jerry Reese.
Jerry's been here a long time, and I've watched him run our draft for many, many years, so I always had that belief in him. But certainly there were a couple of drafts in there, 2011, 2012, where we didn't quite get the production that we wanted out of it. So we needed to do well in 13 and 14. I think we did. We need to do it again, obviously, because, you know, when you're 6 and 10, you obviously have a lot of holes to fill.
And you know what? It's not only getting this new group of draft players in this year, Marco, it's also getting continued improvement from the last two, because neither one of these drafts are a finished product. I mean, one group of players is just 2 years in. Another group of players is just 1 year in. I would expect Justin Pugh to continue to improve. I would expect Weston Richburg to continue to improve.
Sure.
Devon Kennard, Andre Williams, Odell Beckham. I think all these guys have room to get better. And maybe DeMontre Moore will finally come out of his shell and do something in year number three. So I think you have an opportunity for all these guys to continue to improve, and that can help the record get better next year.
John, I agree. And I have a stat for you, John, that when I heard this, I was shocked. And it's probably true, and I think this really says a lot about why we've underperformed the last 3 years. Maybe you could look into this. Is it true that since 2008, that the Giants have only given out a second contract to a player they've drafted, and that player was Will Beatty? He's the only player since 2008 that has gotten a second contract.
Is that true?
If you go back to 2007, you can add Zach Diassi to that list, and you can add
Bradshaw
to that list as well, 100% right. And then depending if you want to count Terrell Thomas, who left and came, you know, who got hurt.
Yeah,
they gave him that 1-year deal. If you want to count Aaron Ross, who left and came back. But I'm going to double-check it. I believe, Marco, that is a correct stat, but I want to make sure I give you the correct facts here. I can even go through the picks really quickly. 2008, they let Manningham go. Kenny Phillips got hurt. In 2009, Will Beatty was the one guy they kept around to a long-term deal. Andre Brown was brought back on a second contract after they let him go. So I'm not sure if you want to count Andre Brown in that mix or not. And now Jason Pierre-Paul is up, obviously, for a contract this year. We'll see what happens with that. You know, Linval Joseph was let go. They would have liked to have him back. It wasn't that he was a bad player, which is important to note. They just thought they had Jonathan Hankins there to replace him. And really, those are the only players that have become free agents. Now we're going to see what they do with the group with Prince Mukamara, who's under contract for one more year. But, yeah, for those couple of draft classes, those are the names.
Yeah, well, and I guess so that plays into Ross, Thomas, and Andre Brown were let go, and then they come back. They don't really fall into the statistic, but that says a lot. You know, and I know Prince, I think Prince will be here with a longer deal, and I'm hoping JPP does too. But that's really a telling sign. And now you're hoping that these guys that we drafted last year and this most recent draft, that they could stick on here.
Oh, looks like we lost Marco there, John. Why don't you drop him? I'm not sure what happened there. Marco, give us a call back if you want to finish up. But I think I got where you're coming from here in terms of these last few draft classes, that you think that Justin Pugh is going to be a starter on your offensive lineman for a decade. You think Weston Richburg's going to be a starter on your offensive line for a decade. You think Jason Pierre-Paul is going to be one of the all-time sack leaders in Giants history and play here for another 10 years. And I think those are all possibilities. Hankins can be a guy like that. Prince Mukamara can be a guy like that. You'd hope that Devon Kennard develops into a guy like that. Maybe Andre Williams can be like Brandon Jacobs, stick around for a few years, be part of a two-headed monster at running back, and be that type of player. You know, Odell Beckham, you know, Victor Cruz, remember, he signed, it wasn't a draft pick, but he signed the second contract after the Giants brought him up through college as an undrafted free agent. So that's another guy that they've held on to and brought along. And you hope Odell Beckham can be a long-term answer here as well. And then you have a guy like Reuben Randle, who really had a, you know, quietly had a pretty good year this year in terms of his numbers. 71 catches, over 900 yards. Now you would like to be a little more consistent, take some of the mistakes out of the equation, maybe catch a few more touchdowns, a little more yards per catch, sure. But I think Randle did make some strides this year, and next year will be a big decision year for the Giants in his fourth year with Big Blue, what they want to do when he eventually becomes a free agent. 201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Kashawn is in Maryland. What's going on, Kashawn?
Happy New Year, John. How are you?
Happy New Year, kid. How are you?
Good, good, good. Okay, a few things. You know, first of all, Charlie and I speak on the phone with Shake's show, and I told Charlie that if you listen to the press conference, Jerry Reese did not say he wasn't going to go sign any free agents. He needs to listen with a third ear. He said he wasn't going to spend as much money, and he shouldn't. And, you know, to piggyback off that, you know, when I did listen to John Mara's press conference, I did listen with a third ear, and it is – I am so happy to be a Giants fan. I am so in love with this organization because you just have an owner that seems to be aware and always makes conscious business decisions. He doesn't go, you know, when he's irate or when he's in ire. He just waits at the end and he evaluates. And I say all that to say that I do believe that John Mara's patience is running thin. And when I was listening to his press conference, I think he was trying very hard not to give the media any sound bites because it really irritated him last year when they kept repeating that the offense is broken. But I think his patience is running thin. I think he wants to give Coughlin one more year.
Well, Kashawn,
like this is a win or all.
Yeah, Kashawn, hold on 1 second. I just want you to listen to this. Here's Ian O'Connor asking John Mara that very question at the end of the press conference. Listen in.
John, I know you don't like to deal in negative hypotheticals, but would you describe next year as a win-or-else proposition for a lot of people in this franchise?
I don't think that's an unfair statement.
And there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
There
and
you
so
go.
I think that's one of the reasons why he wanted to bring Coughlin, that he believes that, you know, he could win with Coughlin. But this is what I'm going to say about Jerry Reese. I think he needs to bring most of the players that got hurt, but as well, you know, you have to at least talk to Sue as an astute businessman to try to see, hey, you know, could we get this guy? And is it true that Nick Fairley of the Detroit Lions is also a free agent?
Is Fairley a free agent this year, too? I think he is. Let me double check that. I'm pretty sure he is. Yes, you know what? I'm pretty sure that Nick Fairley is. I will double check that. You know, hold on 1 second. I'll get that information for you right now. Let's see. Nick Fairley, I believe he is a free agent after the year. And, yes, he is. So Nick Fairley will also be available. Remember, though, you know, don't get too excited about Nick Fairley. Remember, the Lions did bench him earlier in the year to send them a message. So Nick Fairley is certainly not at the same, you know, even in the same stratosphere as Sue is in terms of as a player.
But even, you know, it is a bit tantalizing. But even just to bring Sue in, and especially when, you know, we Giants fans heard earlier reports that he wanted to play in New York. I mean, at least just talk to him, Jerry. I mean, for crying out loud, just talk to him and see what the number is. And then maybe because he wants to be here, maybe you can get him a little less than if you went to, I don't know, Jacksonville or someplace else. But I do think that it is – I'm tired of not playing in January. I think we need to fix the defense. I am a little bit disappointed that Perry Fuel is coming back. I did want a new, fresh voice because I felt that what made me jealous of the Cowboys have all these no-name players on defense, but yet the Marinelli, whatever the defensive coordinator name is, he gets those guys to play to the best of their ability. And there's been time and time again, year in and year out, where we've had our players that they even had press conferences how they were confused on the plays. Oh, they thought it was this call. This guy wasn't lined up. That's coaching.
Now,
that is coaching.
Sean, one thing,
and so
though,
I know that we've had injuries, but so has everyone else. I mean, and you see that there are coaches who know how to utilize the talent that they have to the best of their ability, and I just feel that Fuel doesn't know how to do that. And I would have been happy if we went and got someone from Seattle, somebody who wants to be aggressive, not just bend but don't break zone, and, you know, we're not just going to, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was time for a change there. But one last thing, and I'll go.
Sure.
I just hope that – I don't know who is available in free agency, but I know some of the big faces we're talking about, some of the safeties that are out there. I just think we need to get a few key free agents to kind of help, and this draft really needs to focus on the defense, get an O-line, get a wide receiver. And thanks for taking my call, John. I'll be in touch.
Kashawn, always good to hear from you. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Now, in a few things that Kashawn said, as always, excellent call, very well informed, and I think her read on the press conferences last week were right on the money, to be honest with you. All right, couple things. You mentioned how Dallas has done a lot with this quote-unquote no-name defense, but for the most part, this Dallas defense has stayed healthy. They lost Sean Lee in the offseason, but since then, you know, they lost Justin Durant. That's only one guy. Their secondary has been healthy almost the whole year. That's a big part of it. They lost Morris Claiborne, but he wasn't playing well anyway. The defensive line, they got DeMarcus Lawrence back. They got Anthony Spencer back, and they stayed healthy. Henry Melton just recently got hurt. Mincy's been there the whole year. McLean's been there the whole year. So you do have guys that have been there for most of the year. And just one thing with Perry Fuel this year with the defense, all right? And I realize up front and the run defense, you want to take shots. They played poorly. I get that. But in the back end, of this defense, the five best players heading into this season were going to be Will Hill, Ancho Roll, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, Thurmond, and Prince Amukamara. Not in that order. He lost three out of those five guys. And then he lost his best linebacker on top of that. And I'm not making excuses. Injuries happen to every team. I get that. But as Tom Coughlin said last week, facts are facts. And when you lose three out of your best five players in the defensive backfield, and the fourth guy, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, is battling a nagging injury all year and can only play, 50% of the snaps in any given game, 65% of the snaps in any given game, you're going to have struggles. You're going to have mistakes. You're going to have errors. It's going to happen. Again, is this an excuse? No. But I think you do have to bend a little bit and understand some of the struggles based on those problems. And a lot of people disagree with me. I do believe that losing John Beeson had a lot to do with that run defense not being as good. Last year, the run defense was good before Beeson got here. Once he got here and started playing, it became great. I really do think he was a difference maker in that regard. And losing him was a killer. It really was. And as good of a job as Jameel McLean did coming in and doing yeoman's work and playing all these different positions and providing leadership, getting the right calls in, getting guys in the right position, in terms of a flat-out player stopping the run, I think he's a level below John Beeson. And that's just the way it goes. And you replace them the best you can. But, again, injuries are a factor here, guys. They really are. And one other thing I want to mention that Kashawn brought up, that Perry feels not aggressive enough. How do you measure aggressiveness in a defense? Is it sacks? Well, if it's sacks, the Giants had the fourth most sacks in the league. Is it forcing turnovers? Well, the Giants had the 10th most takeaways in the league. If those are the two measures of whether or not a defense is aggressive, I think the Giants were pretty aggressive. And maybe some of the big plays they gave up, and we talked about all the big plays they've given up. I'll give you the numbers again. They gave up the third most pass plays of over 20 yards and the seventh most run plays. Second most run plays over 20 yards. Seventh most pass plays over 40 yards. Maybe those big plays had to do with him being a little too aggressive. You don't give up big plays by being safe. You're not playing prevent defense and giving up 40-yard bombs. You maybe are taking chances. And that's how you have those big plays. So just a couple things to keep in mind. All right. Let's see. We got 12 minutes to go. Johnny, why don't we screen one more caller? We'll take three more calls and we'll say goodbye. Steve in D.C. is up next. Steve-O, what's going on, pal?
What's happening? Thanks for taking my call. First of all, John, I want to give you mad props. I love the way you laid out the format of the show. It was informative. It was balanced. And it set, you know, set the mood for a real good conversation. So great show.
I appreciate it.
I hope I can contribute towards it.
Thank you.
Let me I'm going to make a couple quick points, John, then I'm going to ask you a huge question at the end.
Oh, boy.
Okay? So first of all, I want to say that, you know, it's hard to, first of all, it's hard to come after Kashawn. Great call, Kashawn. But one thing I don't, you know, I don't agree. First of all, I'm not happy with the way the defense played at all either, okay? But I took a lot of the account, what you just mentioned about, you know, not only the stats, but about the injuries. And I also give the same pass I'm giving to Tom Coughlin, who is the head coach, I have to give to Perry Fuel, you know, considering all that's happened. You know, the defense was pretty much decimated for obvious reasons, you know, injury-wise. But I do contribute more to the run defense, A, to Will Hill, again Justin Tuck, who was there. I don't really give Beeson, so I'm not on the bandwagon. I want to go to record for keeping Beeson, just because I don't think he can stay healthy.
Yep.
And he's a liability in pass coverage. So that's, you know, and he's getting a little long in the tooth at this point. I'm ready to move on. I like Charlie's guy about Ronaldo McClain, but the main person I want to scream and holler and back the Brinks truck up for, and everything I could do, I am starting the Sioux movement today. Okay, it's on. It is on. It's not a secret. We have got to get him. We got to get him. That's it. We got to get him. But you know how huge I am, Will Hill fan. You know I'm a Florida alumni, so you know I'm all about Will Hill. It's very painful. Oh, my God, it's so painful. Ooh, and I'm right here in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. You have no idea how painful it is to watch him. But I'm going to leave that alone because I know you don't want to talk about Will Hill. But we got to get to, and there is a question I wanted to ask you. Number one is this. We need linebackers. We hit in a bad, bad way. And I also wanted to make one last point before I make, ask you this question, John. And that is this. First of all, you know, people don't realize the lack of, you know, being able to run the ball affects the whole entire team. It just does. The defense is on the field way more. You know, people just don't really understand it. That really hurt us. I'm not saying, you know, for whatever reason we weren't able to run the ball. And that's why, you know, Dallas looks like world beaters because they're not even really playing. Forget being healthy. These dudes are barely playing. I don't even know how many snaps they took this year, but it was a whole lot less than our defense took. I can guarantee you that much. So, you know, and I hate when people compare our team. I know that they're in the playoffs, but find another team to compare. Please, I don't want to hear about the Cowboys.
Hey, that wasn't me today, Steve. That wasn't me today. That was the caller.
That was Kashawn. You know, that was Kashawn. I'm calling out. You know, so you know I love her, but I don't want to hear about the Cowboys. Here's my question, John. And, I mean, I want to know is this. If you can find a percentage of where our defense ranked up with – Where we received the ball, I don't know how you want to do it, but what kind of field position was our defense put into compared to the rest of the league? That's all I really want to know, to give people a real proper perspective on really where our defense really ranked, you know, and what kind of defense we had, you know, and of course the obvious injuries. But I don't think people really understand, you know, what our defense went through. We weren't as bad as we looked, is what I'm saying, you know. Barring all the injuries. So that's all I want to know is where we were as far as, you know, pass percentage. Where we received the ball defensively, John. I don't know.
You mean in terms of field position, Steve, you're talking about?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what? Let me see if I can find a field position staff for you. All right, Steve, I will give you the answer off the air. Right, pal?
Okay, I appreciate it, man. Great show.
Thanks Steve. Appreciate it. Right, let me see. Where would I find opponent starting field position? Let's see. Do I have that here anywhere? Let's see if that would be here or not. I'm not sure. You know what? I will effort that for you, Steve. I don't think I can get it for you before the end of this show. So it'll be a lot of me doing things like, and let me see if I can find it. And that's not very good TV or radio. So I will try to find that for you, and I will try to get that for you tomorrow. Let me – I don't have a pen. I would write it down, but I will remember. You got a pen over there, Johnny Mac? No? Nothing? We are very ill-prepared. That's okay. we will get that for you tomorrow. See, yeah, chuck it to me, Johnny. That's right. Give me the pen. There we go. Thank you. All right. We need average opponent starting field position. I can get that, I know, Steve, and I will get that for you for tomorrow. 201-939-4513. Now, I think the Giants special teams are actually pretty good. So I think that number is actually probably pretty respectable, but I will take a look at that and see what I can find. Final call of the show is Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Good, John. Happy New Year to you.
You too, man.
First of all, with the defense there, I do want to utter what you said. I think that the backfield was going to be the strong point of the defense and carry the team early. That and the special teams and injuries killed us there. And with the special teams, hoping, especially returning, to have some momentum, because the offensive line, you knew, had to take time, and with Eli. And then with the running backs, I remember early we played. We got going great against the Texans. I thought we were gonna go from there, and the offense was gonna start carrying us a little more. And then Jennings got hurt. He ran great, and then we had to bring the rookie Williams in, and he took a while, and he turned it around. And what I want to say for next year, I think our players there, whoever we have at what positions, they're gonna have experience in depth. I could see. I wanted to say yesterday I didn't get a chance to get in. The offensive line, the way it turned around from one Eagle game to the second Eagle game, where they were running in like it was a jailbreak against the Giants. And I was just so proud to see how they blocked that up. And in a way, I was happy that, I just wanted us to play a good game and get out of there without somebody getting hurt. And because I thought, I want that higher draft pick because next year is it. And the only thing else I was going to say, and I was very disappointed, in a Tennessee game, we're up 30 points. Get Eli out of there and get some experience. That's the only thing we don't have for next year if we put somebody in there. Somebody with experience for Eli. And that's the truth. That would be the, if he goes down and we have no experience. So, when you're up 30 points there to start of the fourth quarter, put what's-his-name in there. That's all. Happy New Year's.
All right, you too, Joe. Appreciate it. And look, the good news is that Eli didn't get hurt. And I get where fans are coming from. They want these guys to get rested. You don't want to risk them. I'm not going to bring out the Beckham doing punts again because I'm going to lose my mind on that. But here's the thing, guys. These guys are football players. They want to play. You think Eli wants to get taken out of a game? You think Beckham wants to get taken off of punt returns? I had people in the locker room, used to tell me they used to beg the coaches to put him in on special teams. Aaron Ross used to be a guy that used to lobby yearly to be the Giants punt returner. But he was too valuable. They didn't want to put him there. But he wanted to do it. And quite frankly, you want to have your best players on the field for your season ticket holders that are paying good money to go to the games. These guys are showing up. They went through a bad year. And they struggled. When they're showing up to games and it's raining and it's cold and it's miserable, guess what? They want to watch Eli Manning play football. And that's no disrespect to Ryan Nassib. I think he's actually taken a lot of big strides this year. I think he's played pretty well. But they want to see Eli Manning. He's Eli Manning. So I realize what you guys are saying and you want to protect injuries. I understand all that. And it's hard for me to argue it. I get it. But these guys want to play. And it's the old 1980s, 1990s mentality, which I think is a good thing to see. You talk to Carl Banks and Howard Cross, and Howard said it on the show many times. You couldn't get him out of a game because he was afraid the guy that was going to step in and replace him would do better than him. And then they take him off the field for good because he loses his job. And I think part of that mentality is with a lot of these guys on this team. I think that's a good thing. You want your guys to think that way. You want them to play that way. All right, here we go. Let's look at some of these tweets here. David Goodman wants a more aggressive defense. I asked him what he meant by aggressive, and he answered, more press coverage, less soft zone, less letting offenses dictate what you do, nothing on a stat sheet. Well, I don't think the offenses dictated what the Giants did. You're saying that they did the same thing all the time. So obviously you're not letting the Giants, the offense, dictate anything to you. You know, press coverage, less soft zone. I mean, I think you played a decent amount of man with guys like Dominic Rogers, Cromartie, and Prince. You got sacks. You got turnovers. I don't know. I think this whole aggressive thing, I think, is easy to talk about. I mean, do you think, maybe this way, do you think the Seahawks had an aggressive defense last year? Well, they barely blitzed at all. They played a lot of cover three zone. They didn't play a lot of press man on the outside. Were they physical at the line of scrimmage? Sure, but they went into a zone. And a cover three zone is actually one of the softer zones you play with, three guys deep. So it depends what you mean by aggressive. I think it's hard to pin down sometimes. I mean, what defenses do you think out there are aggressive? You know, the Jaguars had one of the highest blitz percentages in the league this year. They were aggressive defense. Were their numbers any good? Take a look. How are the Eagles? They blitzed all the time. How are their final defensive numbers? Do you like Bradley Fletcher being manned up in press coverage with Dez Bryant all day on the outside, getting toasted down the sideline? Was that fun? Not if you're an Eagle fan. Let's see. Luis Peter DeGolia. I butchered that, Pete. I'm sorry, Lou. No chance. Thoughts on Victor Butler? The last ex-Saint player we signed was horrid. Well, Victor Butler was... let me think if I remember Victor Butler. Victor Butler was on Dallas for a bit. He was a situational pass rusher when they were in the 3-4. When they went to the 4-3, I think they let him go. He might have been here for 1 year, Rob Ryan. There for 1 year, Rob Ryan. I'm not sure. I have to check that. I'm not positive. Let's see. What else do we have here? Let's see. One more breaking down a play on Giants Rewind. I have to look at that more closely. Hard for me to talk about that. At Mr. C. Breezy, Giants good defensive stats came against some bad teams. That's true. And when they played against the monster teams, he gave them some points. I think that's fair. And John Mara did mention that last week in his press conference. He understands who the Giants had success against and who they didn't. So I think in some cases that's fair. In other cases, you know, maybe not so much. And I think that kind of sums it up here in terms of the internet. So good job on Twitter, everybody. Good job on the phones. That's all the time we have for Big Blue Kickoff Live today on Giants.com. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll start mixing in some other hosts here as we go along, too, so you don't get sick of me as we move forward, and we'll try to get some more topics. If you have any ideas, by the way, for things we should focus on the next couple of days, players, positions, things like that, send me a tweet at Schmelk, hashtag Giants Chat too, and I'll see if we can figure out what we're doing on tomorrow's show. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being a part of the show, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com. Have a fantastic day. Survive the snow.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.